following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
One more time. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Praise God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has made us Easter people by raising Jesus from the dead. Rejoice then, even in your distress. He has called us from darkness into light. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Amen. Welcome, everyone, to this Easter Sunday celebration. I'm so glad that you are here. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I have the joy and the privilege of being the pastor here at Emmanuel. And I welcome you here as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is to be together celebrating the miracle of miracles. Our Lord Jesus was dead and is alive again. Jesus has defeated death on our behalf. Friday night, we came together to remember and to witness Jesus' death on the cross. We were presented through video reading and drama with the reality that in Jesus, we are offered a choice. Our choice on Friday was whether to believe that Jesus is God, whether to believe that Jesus performs miracles, whether to believe that Jesus truly loves you and me. Whether to believe that Jesus is indeed the only way to right relationship with God, the Father of all creation, who offers us infinite and unconditional love. Our choice was whether we were to go the way of Peter as he denied three times being a disciple, or whether to go the way of Joseph of Arimathea, who believed, who despite his position as a Jewish leader knew Jesus to be the Messiah, and who acted on those beliefs, asking Pilate for Jesus' body to bury him properly. Our choice Friday was whether we will believe, whether we will believe that in our frailty, in our sin, we stand in constant need of a Savior. Whether when faced with the tragedy and violence of Jesus' death on the cross, we will indeed choose Jesus. This morning, again, we are offered a choice. And what a wonderful choice it is. Let me pray for us. Almighty God, whose love never fails, and who can turn the shadow of death into daybreak, help us to receive your word this morning with believing hearts, so that hearing the promises in Scripture, we may have hope and be lifted out of darkness into the light and peace of your presence, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's get into God's word this morning. I'm going to read from John chapter 20. If you don't have a Bible and would like one, feel free to raise your hand. One of our ushers would be happy to bring you one, either just for your use today or to keep. We want you desperately to have the Word of God in your hands. So I'm looking at John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying.
As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, please tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. I really feel for the disciples in the beginning of this. I feel actually especially for Simon Peter, whose athletic prowess or lack thereof is recorded for all history. I mean, that's kind of rough. I mean, to say immediately that he was outrun. But I really feel for the disciples in this moment. And it reminds me of some lyrics that I was actually looking over from a favorite track of mine from Chance the Rapper. He has an album called Coloring Book and a song called How Great. And the line goes, "I was lost in the jungle like Simba after the death of Mufasa. No hog, no meerkat, Hakuna Matata by day, but I spent my night fighting tears back." The disciples must have felt utterly lost. Their teacher, their rabbi, their friend, their Lord, their everything was gone. Jesus was dead. They were wandering in the wilderness. What were they to do? And here comes Mary Magdalene telling them that the stone is rolled away, that the tomb is empty. Again this morning, we see the importance of choice. Here, though, that choice is about choosing whether to believe in life. Simon Peter and the other disciple have a choice. A choice as they make their way towards the tomb whether to enter. A choice of whether to believe that Jesus was not there, no longer in the tomb. A choice of whether to recognize the truth that Jesus was indeed alive. Mary Magdalene is too offered this choice. Her first trip to the tomb, she sees the stone rolled away. She sees that the tomb is empty. And as she returns again, she sees that Jesus is not there, but doesn't understand yet where he could be. It takes Jesus himself speaking Mary's name for her to see and believe. And believe she does. And in that moment, Mary becomes the first witness of the risen Savior, the first to share the good news of Jesus' triumph over death. And then Mary gets to share that news that Jesus is alive, that death will never win again. Jesus has beaten death. Jesus has triumphed over sin and death for our sake. Jesus is alive. The pastor of a church in Detroit, Michigan, named Kevin Butcher, wrote a book, and in it he walks through a number of people's stories, and people he had pastored through different points in his life and ministry. And one woman, her name was Lori, was seemingly your prototypical Christian kid from a Christian family. Her material needs were met. She attended church and youth group and believed in Jesus as a child sincerely. She was a great student and even a part of student council in high school. After graduating high school, she attended a Christian university and even worked at a Christian camp as a counselor. By all outward appearances, Lori had things together. What wasn't so apparent was the deeply painful side of Lori's life. Lori had suffered years of abuse by a family friend, and it was something that she thought was just part of what she had to deal with in her life. That abuse, though, of course, was the source of deep pain for Lori. Pain that she struggled to cover up with various substances, alcohol, and drugs. Lori told Kevin, as she recalled preparing to head to this Christian university, "By this time, I knew the life I was living, and lived all throughout high school, was killing me." Lori was choosing death. There was a brief period of what may have seemed to be an improvement in terms of substance use and self-destructive behavior, though Lori never really felt like she was moving in the correct direction, but rather just pretending. After university and into law school and beyond, things only got worse for Lori. She found herself in abusive relationship after abusive relationship, one with a known murderer and drug dealer, Marlon, who was incredibly violent, even stalking her after they had broken up. One night, Lori found herself in her car, her son Jordan in the back seat, waiting for Marlon to come out of a bar he frequented so Lori could call the hitman she had paid to kill Marlon. As she was sitting there, she looked up and saw a sign. Hope Community Church, Senior Pastor J. Kevin Butcher. Pastor Kevin was her pastor growing up. Here in this moment, perhaps the darkest moment in a very, very painful, broken life, Lori was confronted with the love of Christ. Simply in the name of someone who she knew loved and cared for her. Someone who had, years ago, communicated Christ's love to her. Lori chose that evening not to do anything, and she showed up at Hope Community Church the next morning. In that moment, Lori chose life instead of death. She chose, at the very least, to be open to the truth of God's love, and she chose to listen to what she heard God telling her through that sign for Hope Community Church. Stepping foot in Hope for Lori was the beginning of choosing something new, though at this point in her life, she didn't really know what that meant. As much as it would be wonderful to say that stepping foot in the church that next morning was the end of all bad things for Lori, or the end of all bad decisions even for Lori, the end of drug and alcohol abuse, the end of choosing destructive behavior, I can't say that. At least it wasn't in that moment. A number of years after Lori began attending Hope, she was in a relationship with a man who was recovering from alcoholism. Lori, unfortunately, as she says it, brought him back to booze. One night, he drove drunk, got in a car accident, and died. Lori said that at her boyfriend's funeral, "I think I heard God actually say to me, 'Lori, come home.'" This was the beginning of Lori trying to really change. But she tried to make that change all on her own. She tried to be strong enough on her own, self-sufficient, and unsurprisingly, it didn't go well yet again. Just a couple of years later, Lori got so drunk at a party that she fell down two flights of stairs. She was a bit banged up, but perhaps more embarrassed than anything, and so she still tried to drive home. On her way home, she hit something on a college campus and was eventually driven home by the police. Pastor Butcher writes, "That was it. Lori was ready to make her most profound choice, admitting that though she had no power over the abuse in her childhood, she had power now as a grown daughter of God to choose a healing destiny. She let go of the last of her far country, her dwelling away from God's security blankets, and began the final steps of her journey towards the Father's house. She entered treatment, and following treatment, her relationship with God continues to grow and heal. And Lori has continued to see miracles in her life as she learns to day by day by day choose Jesus. And she learned that that is the key. That it is not one decision, it is not one moment in time. It is the everyday choosing Jesus that makes the difference in her life. And that's the key that comes in the title of this book by Kevin Butcher. It's called Choose and Choose Again. Lori learned in a hard and painful way that the choice to embrace Jesus is not a choice that comes just one time in life. No, choosing Jesus is something that has to happen again and again. On Good Friday, we saw that Peter had three opportunities to choose Jesus, to declare that Jesus was his Lord. And he blew it all three of those times. But as we saw even this morning, those opportunities to choose Jesus didn't stop there. They didn't stop coming for Peter. Just 3 days later, Peter chose to enter the tomb. When the other disciple who beat him there was afraid, wasn't willing to take that step, Peter did. Peter chose to enter the tomb. Peter saw that Jesus was no longer dead. Jesus saw that Jesus was alive. Choosing Jesus is something we have to do every single day. And the promise of Easter Sunday is that choosing Jesus means choosing life. Peter chose not to give in to death. He stepped into the grave expecting life, hoping for life. And that's exactly what he finds. Lori, after years and years of choosing death, hears God calling her home and chooses life. Today, Easter Sunday, choose life. Choose the only one who triumphs over death. Choose Jesus. Just before I wrap up, I'm going to read the next four verses that are here in John. Verses 19 through 23. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Men and women of the church, those who have chosen Jesus, this is a very important lesson for us. We are not to be like those disciples who on that Easter morning, nearly 2,000 years ago, were locked in a room, afraid. Afraid of those who held different beliefs, afraid of those who did not know Jesus as we know them. We cannot lock ourselves in a room. We cannot lock ourselves in this building. We cannot keep to just ourselves. We are sent. Just as Jesus was sent, we are sent. And over the next several weeks, we're going to look at this very idea, the idea of being sent as men and women sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And if you're sitting there in your seat cringing a little bit because evangelism is about the most uncomfortable thing you can possibly think of, I'm right there with you. It's okay. We're going to do this together. because we cannot lock ourselves in a room. It does the world no good for us to sit in a room by ourselves. Choosing Jesus means choosing life. It means choosing life for yourself, and it means choosing life for the world. It means serving the world. It means sharing God's love and sharing the truth of the joy of the resurrection. Today, Easter Sunday, choose life. Choose Jesus. Lord Jesus Christ, you rose again from the dead. Raise up our souls to new life. Give us repentance from dead works and plant in us the joy of your resurrection. Alleluia. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.